Dateline Washington, Tuesday, February 10th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, a conversation with New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett, a member of both the House Budget and Financial Services Committees. We'll get the congressman's reaction to Senate passage of its version of a massive economic stimulus plan. We'll also get the congressman's thoughts on the Treasury Secretary's outlining of what to do with the second half of the Wall Street bailout money. Also in this edition of Dateline Washington, you're getting more pessimistic. We'll talk with Terry Jones of Investors Business Daily about the increasing pessimism of the American consumer, especially when it comes to your own personal economic future. We'll also talk with Eli Lehrer of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about why you might have seen Governor Charlie Crist introducing Barack Obama at the town hall rally today in the Sunshine State. What is Florida looking to get out of the stimulus debate? And the steroid cloud has returned. We'll talk about the confession of Alex Rodriguez with Phil Wood, baseball analyst for the Washington Nationals. All that plus Tuesday's headlines follows our discussion with Congressman Scott Garrett, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett, a Republican representing the Garden State's 5th Congressional District. He's also a member of both the House Budget and Financial Services Committees. We want to get his thoughts on the Senate passing its version of a massive economic stimulus bill, what he expects in the House-Senate conference, and we also want to get his reaction to the explanation on Tuesday from Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner about how the administration plans to spend the second half of the Wall Street bailout money. And Congressman, it's always good to have you with us.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
We know that there was a compromise, as they term it, in the Senate. In the end, the total of the package was more than what the House passed almost 2 weeks ago. Your thoughts on the changes to the bill and whether it makes much difference on the impact it's likely to have on the economy?
It makes little difference on the impact on the economy, only that it puts our next generation of children and grandchildren even further in debt. And as so much as far as a compromise, of course, it was really not bipartisan at all. You know, in the House, there was a bipartisan vote opposed to it. That was 11 Democrats came along with Republicans to say no to it. But in the Senate, no such numbers.
What do you suspect is going to happen in the conference? And do you believe the bill can be substantially improved in that process?
I always remain optimistic. But the reality is that you saw the number go up in the Senate, and you'll probably see the number go up again in the conference. And at the end of the day, it will just not help the problem, just exacerbate the debt. As you know, as you and I speak, we're at $1.2 trillion in debt before we even spent any of this money. And so now we're adding another $1 trillion to our legacy in Washington.
What have you heard so far? What do you expect in terms of how the conference will be run? I know Republicans in both the House and Senate have felt very shut out of the negotiating process here. So what do you expect in the next round?
Hope for the best. But again, we're expecting that we'll be shut out in that area as well. We are just dropping a letter over to say that there should be transparency, there should be openness to all sides and opinions throughout the conference process, and not the backdoor old style of politics that we've come to know now for the last 2 years here in D.C. President Obama came in with his talk of hope and change, and I think that's what the American public voted for. But if we simply have a government that is excluding half of the Congress and spending us further into debt, that has not changed. That is just more of the same.
It's been said for years, Congressman, that making legislation is kind of like making sausage.
Right.
You don't really want to see how it's done. But if, in fact, the sunshine were to be on this process, and even at this late stage in the conference committee, what do you think the American people would learn about how things work on Capitol Hill right now?
Well, they learned how things work are not always as they appear, and they would also learn that what's actually in the bill. And I think that's one of the reasons why Pelosi and Reid are pushing this so quickly, is because they do not want the American public to have a good grasp of what's actually in here until it's too late, until it's passed both houses, signed into law. If this bill could be up on the website and every part of it fully analyzed by the American public, I think you would have the switchboards down here ringing off the hook as people realize that this is just more of the same. This is more earmarks, more pork, more waste that brought us to the fiscal situation that we're in right now, and that explains why they're acting as they are.
How do you react to Democrats who say that, yes, they're dominating the process, but it was exactly the opposite when Republicans were in control? How would you compare and contrast the way that the majority treated the minority between the two parties?
Oh, it's not at all like. Matter of fact, there was just some published articles about this of recent showing how the Republicans acted when they were in the majority and vice versa. And the articles goes and they talks to all, you know, members who've been around for decades, and they said, really, we've never seen anything quite like we've seen for the last 2 years, and even more so since this new term has begun with the rules on January 6th that basically exclude much of the opportunity for the type of amendments that we had in the past. And the amendments are not simply Republican amendments. These are amendments that represent half the American people. And so when you exclude that half of the parties, you exclude half the American public from having their input into the decision-making process.
And we're even seeing some blue dog or moderate to conservative right. Democrats having the same frustration, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the blue dogs were somewhat silent or quiet during the last term, but I think that they're beginning to stand up on their own a little bit more now, and I hope that they, and I know a number of them, about half a dozen of them, came along with Republicans on the stimulus that went first time through, and I think they're beginning to see that the public did want change and not more of just spending and one-party rule, and they're willing to stand up to their party to some degree.
We're talking with New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett. And Congressman, you mentioned that the more time the American people have to look at the contents of this stimulus package, the less they're probably going to like it. We're already seeing some public opinion polls. CNN says only 54% like the plan. And down in the Rasmussen poll, it's at 38%. So what impact does that have, do you think, if the American people aren't really sold on whether or not this package can work?
Well, you've seen this before on major issues. Go back on immigration when the Senate was going to push through a so-called comprehensive immigration bill. They stopped in their tracks when the switchboards were lit up and the constituents called their offices and let their voice be heard. We saw this also on other legislation since then on spending bills and what have you. If the public is outraged enough, as I think they are becoming more so on this outlandish amount of money that's going out the door without any checks or balances or accountability, finally, members of Congress from in the House and the Senate will pay attention, and that's really what it takes. People getting on the phone, can't wait because of, by a letter or anything else like that, and say they want something done. 2 points I should make: the American public wants Congress to act, A, but B, they want it to be done in a responsible manner. This bill is not a responsible bill.
Of course, over the past couple of days, we've seen President Obama take his message in favor of the stimulus package on the road. Monday it was Indiana. Today it was Florida. And in between, of course, there was the White House press conference on Monday night.
Right.
He has said a couple of things that I want to get your reaction to. Number one, he says he's willing to hear different ideas, but he's not about to embrace what he calls the ideas that led to this problem that we're in the first place, essentially focusing this package on tax cuts. How would you react to his characterization that tax cuts, and specifically the Bush tax cuts of 01 and 03, led in a large part to where we are right now?
Well, I think most economists would agree that what led us to where we are right now is just too much spending, whether it's in the corporate field, whether it's on Wall Street, or whether it's in Washington. We are just leveraged up to the hilt, spending way beyond our means, and that's what's brought the economy to where it is today. So I agree with him that we don't want to continue those patterns. And so if we want change, then we need to do what American families and small businesses are forced to do right now: live within their means. And so we would call on the president to listen to the American public for the change that they want, live within our means, show not only the responsibility but the sacrifice here from the federal level as well. We have to put away the pet projects and the pork projects and everything else that members of Congress always like to have added to bills, and be responsible, just like we're asking the public to be responsible.
The president also addressing one of the last points you just made there, Congressman, saying that one man's pork is another man's economic stimulus plan. During the press conference, he talked about how some of the provisions for modernizing health care records and fixing crumbling schools and so forth might seem to some as pork, but he says in the end, they not only create jobs, but actually improve our education, health care, and infrastructure sectors, so forth. How much weight should we give to that argument that he gave last night?
No, we can give a lot of weight to that argument that those things can be good for the country in the long term. But the question right now is, what do we do to get the economy growing today? Help that guy that doesn't have a job today. Help that guy who's about to lose his job today. Saying that we're going to restructure, rebuild, and revamp the entire health care system in this country, well, no one is believes that's going to happen overnight, and no one believes that's going to create jobs tomorrow for people. That's going to be a long-term, long deep in thought issue that has to be well planned out so that we don't end up wasting more money than we actually benefit from it. So, yeah, those things have to be addressed, but that's not part of a stimulus plan.
Also today, Congressman, we heard from the Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner, outlining his basic four principles for how to appropriate the final $350 billion of the Wall Street bailout money, including helping out with mortgages and also stoking private investors to help dig us out of this financial crisis. He also, though, said no details will be made public until they figure out exactly what works best. How did you react to what we heard today?
Well, I think that last point is the most important point, that if we don't know what the details are, then investors, people on Wall Street, people who want to start their own business, et cetera, are not going to be engaged in the process until they do. I just questioned Chairman Bernanke from the Fed, and the question is saying, why is the Fed engaged in some similar activities when the Treasury Secretary is rolling out all their plans to similar actions? And he said, well, we can do it too. Well, that is a confusing answer to the situation. Wall Street and Main Street are not going to reengage in the capital markets and creating jobs until Washington gets its house in order. And as long as you have two departments, Treasury and the Federal Reserve, acting maybe together but maybe at cross purposes with plans that change literally every other week, Wall Street and Main Street are not going to have the confidence. And so far we haven't gotten it from this administration or from the House, and I think that's what they're all looking for.
Congressman, folks seem to know about the TARP, of course, and the stimulus, but there's a whole lot of other money being thrown around by the Fed and FDIC, it seems, correct?
Sure. We're talking about $350 billion plus $350 billion, and then $900 billion. That just comes up to where we are right now, and now they're talking on literally another $600 billion for GSE purchases by the Fed, and the numbers just continue, and another $900 billion for the funding for this year operations. The numbers just are astronomical, beyond comprehension, and no one down here seems to, on the other side of the aisle, seems to have a problem with that. I think the American public does, though.
We'll keep following it, and we certainly hope to have you back soon. Congressman, thanks so much for your time today.
Hey, thank you. Take care.
New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett represents his state's 5th Congressional District, member of both the House Budget and Financial Services Committees. This is Dateline Washington.